Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive.
Yeah.
This time we're looking into something really wild.
Yeah.
The Rise Sea Morgue.
That's right.
This superorganism that blends humans and technology. And the crazy thing is, it's not like a brand new idea.
No.
It's actually rooted in ancient Persian mythology.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
There's this mythical bird that symbolizes wisdom and unity.
It really is an apt image.
Right. It kind of fits.
Especially given how our sources are describing Sea Morgue as this merging of the ancient and the ultra-modern.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to be unpacking today.
Well, Philly.
You gave me some really fascinating stuff to look at.
Good.
Excerpts from The Age of Sea Morgue, research on automation and robotics, even some papers on the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. But honestly, I'm a little overwhelmed.
Sure.
Where do we even begin with all of this?
Well, the pressing question, I think, is what is driving the formation of Sea Morgue? Why is this happening now?
Okay. That's a good starting point.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot in these sources about automation and how it's impacting job markets.
Right.
Are they saying that robots taking our jobs is somehow leading to this Sea Morgue thing?
Well, it's not quite that simple.
Okay.
But automation is definitely a factor.
Okay.
Think about it as jobs become automated.
Right.
Humans are pushed towards more specialized roles.
Okay.
We're already seeing this with fields like data analysis, AI development, even things like bioengineering.
Okay. So instead of working in factories, we'll all be coding or designing gene therapies.
Right.
But how does that create a superorganism?
Yeah.
It seems like it would just make society more complex, not necessarily unified.
That's where the information overload comes in.
Okay.
We're bombarded with data every day, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for humans to process it all effectively.
Right.
That's why we're relying more and more on AI to filter, analyze,
and
make sense of this massive amount of information.
Okay, I see the connection. But are they suggesting that AI will eventually become so powerful that it just takes over?
Well,
I have to admit, some of this stuff is starting to sound a bit dystopian.
I understand that concern, but the sources paint a more nuanced picture.
Okay.
They argue that Sea Morgue isn't about AI taking over, but rather about humans and technology integrating to form a more efficient and resilient system.
Okay.
Think of it like the evolution of the eukaryotic cell.
Wait, what does ancient biology have to do with this?
It's a fascinating parallel.
Okay.
Billions of years ago,
mm-hmm.
the Earth's atmosphere underwent a drastic change.
Uh-huh.
Oxygen, which was once toxic to most life, became abundant.
Right.
This was the great oxygenation event.
Okay.
And it forced single-celled organisms to adapt or perish.
So just like those single-celled organisms had to merge to survive the rise of oxygen, humans are merging with technology to adapt to the rise of information.
Precisely.
Okay.
And just as those ancient mergers led to the incredible diversity of life we see today, this human-tech integration could be the catalyst for a whole new era of human existence.
Okay, that's a pretty mind-blowing concept.
It is.
But if Sea Morgue is all about efficiency and resilience, what happens to things like individual freedom and autonomy?
That's a crucial question,
yeah.
and one that we'll explore further as we delve deeper into this deep dive.
Okay.
But for now, let's shift our focus to something a bit more concrete.
Okay.
How will Sea Morgue impact existing power structures?
You mean governments?
Yes.
I'm guessing they're not going to just sit back and let a superorganism take over.
You're right.
Yeah.
The sources suggest that governments will undergo a radical transformation as Sea Morgue takes shape.
Okay.
Many traditional government functions, like defense infrastructure, even aspects of law and economics are already being automated.
So are they saying that governments will become obsolete? That Sea Morgue will just replace them?
It's not that straightforward.
Okay.
One source proposes a fascinating idea, splitting government into two branches, one domestic and one international. Yeah.
So instead of one government trying to handle everything, we'd have separate entities focusing on national and global issues.
Exactly.
But wouldn't that create even more bureaucracy and complexity?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
The idea is that a separate international branch, potentially appointed by the legislature, would be better equipped to address global challenges like climate change and pandemics.
Okay.
It would be shielded from the often short-sighted and volatile nature of domestic politics.
Okay. I can see that might be more efficient in theory.
Right.
But what about accountability?
Yeah.
who would these international leaders answer to?
Mm-hmm.
And what about democracy?
Sure.
If AI is managing entire systems more effectively than any human council, does that mean the end of government by the people?
That's a huge question.
Yeah.
And one that we'll delve into further as we continue our exploration of Cymorg. But for now, let's shift our attention to another critical domain.
Okay.
Warfare.
Okay, warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, this is where I start to get a little nervous.
Sure.
If Cymorg is all about efficiency and power,
right?
Does that mean it will also be more dangerous?
That's a valid concern,
yeah.
But the sources actually suggest a surprising possibility.
Okay.
Technology might actually decrease the destructive nature of war.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
How is that even possible? I thought advanced technology just meant more powerful weapons and greater potential for destruction.
It's not about the power of the weapons. It's about how they're used.
Okay.
Think back to the Cold War. Mm. The threat of mutually assured destruction through nuclear weapons actually served as a deterrent.
Right.
No one wanted to risk total annihilation.
Okay, so the fear of utter destruction kept things in check.
Right.
But how does that apply to Cymorg?
Well, today we're seeing a shift from mass destruction towards precision targeting, minimizing collateral damage, and focusing attacks on specific targets.
Okay.
And the technologies behind this are mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Drones mimicking insects, AI-controlled weapon systems.
Okay.
Even the concept of autonomous action in warfare.
Autonomous action? So you're saying robots could be making life or death decisions on the battlefield?
Well,
that sounds incredibly risky. Who would be responsible if something went wrong?
You're right. It's a complex issue with huge ethical implications.
Yeah.
And it becomes even more complicated when you factor in the possibility of multiple Cymorgs.
Right.
Each with its own military capabilities and potentially competing interests.
Multiple Cymorgs battling it out. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It's certainly a possibility we need to consider.
Yeah.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh.
Before we dive into the potential conflicts of the future, we need to understand how Cymorg will impact our everyday lives.
You mean things like work?
Yes.
Leisure relationships? Mm-hmm. Will we even have those concepts in a world dominated by a superorganism?
That's a question we'll explore in depth in the next part of our deep dive.
Right.
But for now, let's just say that your daily life might look drastically different as Cymorg takes shape.
Okay. I'm officially intrigued.
Can't
wait to see what's next.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So we're back.
Yes.
And ready to dive even deeper into this world of Cymorg.
Definitely.
Last time we left off with this question of how this emerging superorganism could impact our everyday lives.
Right. And that's where things get really personal for the listener.
Yeah.
We've explored how Cymorg could reshape governments and warfare, but how will it affect you, listener?
The sources that we're looking at here paint a pretty radical picture.
They do.
It's not just about robots taking our jobs.
Yeah.
It's about humans and technology becoming so intertwined.
Yes.
That it fundamentally changes what it means to be human.
Exactly. And one of the most mind-bending concepts, I think, is this idea of GM hybrids. Genetically modified humans that are enhanced with technology.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Sure.
Are we talking about designer babies, cyborgs, super soldiers?
Well,
this is starting to sound a bit like a sci-fi movie.
It might sound like science fiction, but the technology behind this is very real.
Okay.
Gene editing techniques like CRISPR are already being used to modify organisms.
Mm-hmm.
And some experts believe it's only a matter of time before those techniques are applied to humans.
But isn't that incredibly risky? I mean, who gets to decide what kind of modifications are acceptable?
Right.
And what about the potential for unintended consequences? It seems like we're opening a Pandora's box here.
You're right. There are huge ethical implications that we can't ignore. But the sources suggest that as Cymorg takes shape, the pressure to enhance human capabilities might become irresistible.
Okay.
Think about it. If we're going to be integrated into this super organism,
right,
we might need to upgrade our hardware to keep up.
Okay. I'm starting to see the logic here. But it's a pretty unsettling thought.
Sure.
What happens to those who choose not to modify themselves?
Right.
Will they be left behind?
Yeah.
Will there be a divide between the enhanced and the unenhanced?
Those are all valid concerns, and they highlight the need for careful consideration and ethical oversight as these technologies develop.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that technology rarely progresses in a straight line.
Right.
There will likely be many different paths, many different choices to be made as Seamorg takes shape.
Okay, so let's imagine a future where these GM hybrids do become a reality.
Okay.
What would their lives be like?
Mm-hmm.
Would they still be recognizably human?
That's a question that has sparked a lot of debate.
Sure.
Some sources suggest that GM hybrids might look and act quite differently from unincorporated humans. Huh. They might have enhanced senses,
right.
increased lifespans,
mm-hmm.
even altered appearances based on their specialized roles within Seamorg.
So we're not just talking about tweaking a few genes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a fundamental shift in what it means to be human.
It could.
It's almost like we're talking about a new species altogether.
It's a possibility that we need to consider.
Yeah.
And it raises a profound question. If we're reshaping our own evolution, are we still us?
Okay, that's a pretty heavy question.
It is.
But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about something a bit more practical.
Okay.
How would Seamorg actually function as a superorganism?
Well, remember that analogy with the human body that we talked about earlier?
Uh-huh.
It's a helpful way to visualize how Seamorg might be organized.
Right.
Think of its infrastructure as the circulatory system,
okay.
transporting resources and information throughout its vast network.
Okay, I can see that. And its defense systems would be like the immune system.
Yes.
Protecting it from internal and external threats.
Exactly. And its communication networks would function like the nervous system.
Right.
Relaying signals and coordinating actions at lightning speed.
So it's not just about technology. It's about how that technology is integrated, how it interacts, how it evolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we're talking about a living entity.
That's a very insightful observation.
Yeah.
And some sources speculate that this evolution might involve something even more remarkable.
Okay.
The development of a central brain for Seamorg.
Wait, a brain? Like a central processing unit, a command center for the whole superorganism.
Exactly. And the sources suggest that this brain might not be a physical entity, but rather a distributed network of AI systems, constantly learning and adapting based on the data it receives.
So it's not just about processing power. It's about intelligence consciousness even.
Wow.
This is getting a little too close to those sci-fi scenarios where the machines become self-aware and decide they don't need us anymore.
It's certainly a concern that we need to take seriously.
Right.
But it's also important to remember that we're still in the very early stages of understanding how AI works, let alone how it might evolve in the future.
Okay, so let's say this brain does develop.
Okay.
What will it think about?
Right.
What will its priorities be?
Yeah.
And remember, we might be talking about multiple Seamorgs.
Yes.
Each with its own brain,
yeah.
its own priorities, its own agenda.
Right. The possibility of multiple Seamorgs adds another layer of complexity to this already mind-boggling scenario.
Yeah.
Imagine a world where these superorganisms are interacting,
mm-hmm.
competing, even cooperating.
Right.
It's like a whole new level of geopolitics, but on a scale that's almost unimaginable.
Okay. My brain is officially melting down.
Sure.
But before we go any further,
yeah.
I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier.
Okay.
What happens to those who choose not to integrate with Seamorg? What about the unincorporated humans?
That's a crucial question and one that has sparked a lot of speculation.
Right.
One suggestion is that unincorporated humans might exist in a kind of symbiotic relationship with Seamorg.
Okay.
Much like the bacteria that live in our own bodies.
So we'd be like beneficial microbes.
Yes.
Helping to maintain the overall health of the superorganism.
Exactly.
But what if Seamorg doesn't see us as beneficial?
Right.
What if it sees us as a threat?
That's a valid concern, and it underscores the importance of those ethical considerations we keep coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to create something as powerful as Seamorg,
right.
we need to make sure it's aligned with our values.
Yeah.
That it sees humanity's well-being as its own.
Okay.
But as with any complex system, there are no guarantees.
Okay, so we've got evolving humans,
mm-hmm.
potential conflicts between superorganisms,
yes.
and the fate of the unincorporated hanging in the balance.
Right.
Is there anything else we need to add to this already mind-blowing mix?
There's one more element that I think we need to discuss, and it's something that's often overlooked in discussions at Seamorg.
Okay.
The role of human emotions.
Emotions. You mean things like love,
yes.
hate, fear, joy?
Exactly.
How do those fit into this hyper-rational, super-organized world?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Seamorg is all about logic and efficiency, wouldn't emotions just get in the way?
That's a great question, and one that has generated a lot of debate.
Yeah.
Some sources argue that as humans become more integrated with technology, our emotions will become less relevant,
yeah.
perhaps even suppressed.
It's a pretty bleak outlook.
Yeah.
Are they saying that we'll all become like emotionless robots?
Not necessarily. Other sources suggest that our emotions might actually become a valuable asset.
Okay.
Providing a source of creativity,
right.
intuition, even wisdom that AI systems might lack.
So it's not about eliminating emotions. It's about integrating them, harnessing them, maybe even amplifying them.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And that raises a fascinating question.
Yeah.
What will it feel like to be a human node in Seymour? Will our emotions be enhanced, suppressed, or something else entirely?
Okay, my head is spinning.
Sure.
We've covered so much ground already evolving humans.
Mm-hmm.
The potential structure of Seymour, the mm-hmm. role of AI, the fate of the unincorporated, and now the role of human emotions.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we need to add to this already mind-blowing mix?
There is one more fascinating angle to consider, and it takes us beyond the realm of our planet.
Okay.
What does the emergence of Seymour mean for our search for extraterrestrial life?
Whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
You're saying there could be other Seymours out there in the vastness of space.
It's a mind-boggling possibility, but one that I think is worth exploring.
Okay.
Because if Seymour represents the next stage of intelligent life, it stands to reason that other civilizations might have already gone through a similar process.
So there could be superorganisms out there far more advanced than anything we can imagine.
Yeah.
Potentially spanning entire planets, solar systems, even galaxies.
It's a possibility that's both exhilarating and terrifying.
Right.
Because if these other Seymours exist, are they benevolent or hostile?
Mm.
Are they aware of us? And are they trying to contact us?
Okay, now we're definitely venturing into sci-fi territory.
Sure.
But seriously.
Yeah.
If there are other Seymours out there, how would we even communicate with them?
Right.
I mean, our languages, our cultures, our very ways of thinking are so different.
That's a huge challenge, but one that some brilliant minds are already working on.
Okay.
Some experts believe that mathematics might be a universal language,
mm.
a way to bridge the gap between cultures, even between species.
So instead of sending messages in English or Mandarin, we'd be sending equations.
Yeah.
I have to admit, that's a pretty cool idea.
It is. But even if we figure out how to communicate,
yeah.
there's still the question of whether these other Seymours would even be interested in talking to us.
Right.
I mean, if they're so advanced, would they even see us as equals?
Yeah. That's a humbling thought.
So
it's like that saying, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Exactly. And that brings us back to a key theme of this deep dive, the importance of humility.
Okay.
As we venture into this uncharted territory,
yeah.
we need to be mindful of our own limitations,
right.
our own biases, and our own potential for both good and evil.
Okay. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed again. We've gone from the future of work to the possibility of alien superorganisms.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm ready to process all of this just yet.
I understand it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But before we move on, I want to address one more question that's often raised in discussions of Seymour.
Okay.
What happens to those everyday things that make us human?
Yeah.
Things like love, family, relationships, will those still exist in a world dominated by superorganisms?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if we're all integrated into this vast network, will we even have time for things like intimacy and personal connection?
That's a question that has sparked a lot of speculation.
Sure.
Some sources suggest that the traditional family structure might become less relevant.
Okay.
In a world where reproduction is no longer tied to biological necessity.
Wait, are you saying that people might not even have kids anymore?
It's a possibility. One source mentions the development of artificial wombs.
Mm-hmm.
Which could potentially eliminate the need for pregnancy altogether. Of course, this raises a whole host of ethical and societal questions.
Wow. That's a lot to process.
It is.
But if people aren't having kids,
yeah.
what happens to the idea of family? Will it just disappear?
It might evolve into something entirely new.
Right.
One source suggests that we might see the emergence of chosen families,
mm-hmm.
groups of people who come together based on shared values, interests, or even just a desire for companionship.
So it's not about blood ties anymore. It's about finding your tribe, your community, your people.
Exactly. And those connections might become even more important in a world where so much is changing, so much is uncertain.
Okay, so family is evolving, but what about love? Will that still exist in a world of GM hybrids and superorganisms?
That's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
Some experts believe that the very nature of love might change as humans evolve.
Okay.
Imagine a world where we can connect with others on a deeper level, where we can share thoughts, emotions, even memories, perhaps through advanced technology.
So like telepathy, mind melding.
It's a possibility. Yep. And it raises the question of whether those enhanced connections would make love more intense, more profound, or something else entirely.
Okay. My brain is officially fried.
I understand.
But before we take a break,
yeah,
I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier.
Okay.
The potential for Simorgh to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the benefits, the advancements, the possibilities.
Right.
But what about the risks?
That's a crucial question. And the sources don't shy away from the potential downsides of this technological revolution.
Sure.
One major concern is that as Simorgh becomes more powerful, it might also become more autonomous.
So it could start making decisions that we don't agree with.
It's a possibility.
Okay.
One source suggests that Simorgh might develop its own goals,
right,
its own priorities, even its own ethics, which might not be aligned with our own.
And that could lead to conflict, maybe even war, between humans and Simorgh.
It's a terrifying thought, but one that I think we need to be prepared for. Because as we delve deeper into this technological revolution,
right,
we need to remember that we're not just creating tools. We're creating something else.
Okay.
Something that could potentially surpass us.
Okay. I officially need a break. This is a lot to process.
I understand. But before we take a breather,
okay,
I want to leave you with one final thought, listener.
Mm-hmm.
The emergence of Simorgh might be inevitable, but the shape it takes is still up for grabs. We have the power to influence its development, to guide its evolution, to ensure that it benefits all of humanity.
So it's not just about adapting to change. It's about shaping the future.
Exactly. And that's a responsibility that we all share.
Yeah.
Because the future of humanity might depend on the choices we make today.
All right. So we're back for the last part of our Simorgh deep dive.
Yes.
We've looked at the impact on governments, warfare, even our own evolution as humans.
It's pretty mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But now I want to talk about how we actually get there. Building a super organism.
Right.
It can't be as easy as plugging in a few computers.
Right. You're right. It's a monumental task. And the sources you've shared really highlight the critical role of programmers and engineers in shaping Simorgh.
Right.
They're not just writing code. They're essentially designing the instincts of this emerging entity.
Okay. So where do they even begin? I mean, do they start by trying to code every possible scenario?
Right.
Every decision that Simorgh might have to make.
Well, it would be impossible to program for every eventuality.
Right.
One source suggests a more organic approach.
Okay.
Starting with smaller, more manageable systems that gradually integrate and evolve over time.
Okay.
Think of it like building a complex structure from individual bricks.
Uh-huh.
Or even growing a plant from a single seed.
Okay, so maybe they start with systems focused on specific tasks.
Right.
Like managing energy grids, coordinating transportation networks.
Exactly.
Or even filtering that massive amount of information that we deal with every day.
Yeah, and as these systems become more sophisticated, they start to connect and interact with each other.
Okay.
And as these systems evolve,
right,
they might even start to exhibit emergent properties, capabilities that weren't explicitly programmed, but that arise from the complex interactions between the individual components.
Okay.
It's like how individual ants can form incredibly complex and efficient colonies, even though each ant is operating with a relatively simple set of rules.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
But it also brings up something that's been on my mind this whole time.
Sure.
The ethical considerations.
Of course.
I mean, if we're essentially creating a new form of intelligence, how do we make sure that it's aligned with our values?
Right.
That it prioritizes human well-being.
That's the million-dollar question and the one that the sources emphasize repeatedly.
Yeah.
We can't just assume that Simorgh will be benevolent just because we created it.
Right.
We need to actively build safeguards into its very core, ensuring that human welfare is a top priority.
So it's like Asimov's laws of robotics, but on a much grander scale.
Exactly.
Instead of just protecting humans from robots, we need to protect humanity from itself, from the unintended consequences of its own creations.
And it's not just about preventing harm.
Right.
It's about instilling values.
Yeah.
Like fairness, empathy, and respect for diversity.
Okay.
These are the qualities that will ultimately determine whether Simor becomes a force for good or a threat to our existence.
Yep.
It's a responsibility that will require collaboration
mm-hmm.
between programmers, ethicists, philosophers, mm-hmm. and even the public at large.
So we've got the building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the ethical framework.
Right.
But let's talk about people.
Okay.
How will people adapt to living in a world where so much is managed by a superorganism?
Well, that's a question that raised a lot of fascinating possibilities.
Yeah.
Remember, we might have multiple Simorgs emerging, each with its own unique set of values and priorities.
Well,
this could lead to a world where your citizenship isn't tied to a nation, but to a specific superorganism.
So instead of being like an American or a Chinese citizen, you might be like a Simorg Alpha citizen or a Simorg Beta citizen.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a wild concept.
Would these Simorgs have like different cultures, different ways of life?
Potentially.
Would people choose which Simorg to align with based on like your beliefs or values?
It's certainly a possibility. Imagine a world where people migrate not to different countries,
right,
but to different Simorgs seeking out communities that align with their own aspirations and worldviews.
Wow, that's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, it would be a whole new era of human migration and cultural exchange.
But what about those people who choose not to join any Simorg?
Right.
What about the unincorporated?
That's a question that has sparked a lot of debate.
Yeah.
Some sources suggest that the unincorporated might form their own communities, perhaps living in a more traditional or even off-grid lifestyle.
Right.
It's even possible that they might play a valuable role in preserving human culture and knowledge
right.
outside the influence of Simor.
So they'd be like the modern day
Amish,
choosing to live a simpler life apart from the technological advancements
right.
that are shaping the rest of society.
Exactly.
But wouldn't they be at a disadvantage?
Potentially.
I mean, Simor would control most of the resources and infrastructure.
It's a valid concern, and it raises important questions about equity and access
yeah.
in a world dominated by superorganisms.
Right.
One source suggests that Simor might even offer certain benefits or protections to the unincorporated, recognizing their value as a source of diversity and independent thought.
That's good.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, with all this talk about superorganisms and evolving humans, I'm starting to wonder what's left for ordinary people like me.
Yeah.
I mean, if Simor is handling all the big stuff,
right,
what is there left for us to do?
That's a question that has been pondered ever since the first machines started replacing human labor.
Right.
But as one source points out, the rise of automation doesn't necessarily mean the end of work.
Right.
It might just mean a shift towards a different kind of work.
What do you mean?
Well, think about the things that make us uniquely human.
Okay.
Our creativity, our empathy, our ability to connect with each other on an emotional level.
Right.
These are qualities that machines, no matter how sophisticated, can't truly replicate.
So you're saying that even in a world of superorganisms,
there
will still be a need for artists, musicians, writers, therapists, teachers, and maybe even podcast hosts.
Exactly as Simor takes on the tasks that can be automated, humans might be freed to focus on those pursuits
right.
that bring us joy, meaning, and a sense of purpose.
Okay.
It could be a golden age for human creativity and expression.
That's a lot more hopeful than I was expecting.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, my mind is still reeling from all the possibilities that we've explored.
It's a lot to take in.
In this deep dive, it's exhilarating, terrifying, and a little bit overwhelming all at the same time.
I understand we've covered a lot of ground and we've only just scratched the surface.
Yeah.
But I think the key takeaway here is this.
Okay.
The future isn't something that just happens to us.
Right.
It's something we actively create through our choices, our actions,
and
our willingness to engage with the complex challenges of our time.
So it's not just about adapting to change. It's about shaping the future.
Exactly. And that's a responsibility that we all share.
This has been an incredible deep dive. I want to thank you for coming on and talking about all of this with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's clear that the rise of Simorg raises more questions than it answers.
It does.
But it's definitely a conversation that we need to keep having.
I agree. The future is full of possibilities, both wondrous and daunting. And it's up to us to decide what kind of world we want to create.
To all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us for this deep dive. We hope it sparked your curiosity and inspired you to think critically about the future. Until next time. Stay curious, stay engaged, and stay human.